måden Simon har valgt at gøre det på, det er, at han starter med sådan at fortælle i cirka 20-25 minutter, og lidt omkring hans erfaringer med service. Derefter så hopper jeg ned her og har mikrofonen, så er det en tovejs kommunikation. Det vil sige, I har mulighed for at stille spørgsmål. Og jer, som kan engelsk, I kan jo, er jo velkommen til at stille spørgsmål på engelsk. Og hvis der er nogen af jer, der gerne vil have, altså så siger det bare på dansk, så skal jeg forsøge at gøre mit bedste for at oversætte det. Altså, vi kan ikke regne med, at han forstår ret meget. Nej. men jeg skal gøre mit bedste. I just said. Welcome, Simon. It's good to see you again.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you done?
Yeah, almost.
Okay.
Så lad os starte med at give Simon en big welcome.
Go down now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I don't get up, it's fine. Okay, my name's Simon, I'm an addict. And I will try to speak slowly and keep it simple. But this has been a challenge for 51 years, so I'm not certain I will succeed today. Is everyone okay to listen in English? Yeah? Well, if not, you're fucked, so... What I thought would be useful would be, because later today I will speak on the convention on the topic. So I thought maybe I could speak a bit about just generally about service and what it, you know, what it means to me, and some principles of service and some of the things I've learned, and then what I hope is that you have some questions. I really hope you have some questions. Or it will be very quiet. Now, I'm sure there are some questions, and I will try to answer them. But we should make a deal, you know, and in service, I think it's very important to always make this deal. And that is that what is said here stays here, and there are no stupid questions. Because if you know it, chances are before you didn't. And someone has to learn it. And so it's very important that you have a place where you can ask these questions. I think one of the biggest problems we have in NA is feeling we have permission to not know things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the reasons why people do not come into service outside of their groups is because they're afraid that they don't know enough, or they're not smart enough, or what they have is not worth having, or it will be for people who have been to school and university and all of these things. And, you know, I went to school and I went to university, but I sold drugs at university and didn't go to lectures. You know, I sold drugs to the lecturers. What my experience was that I ran in my using. Really, it's what I was doing, was running from myself. And everywhere I went, there I was. And it's impossible to run fast enough, because I'm always where I am. And the reason I took drugs is because it gave me some peace from who I was, but not for long. And one of the places I ran to was to a university. And while I was there, I learned a lot of things, actually. I was 28 when I went there, and I learned that to know more than other people makes you feel safe. It doesn't help, but it makes you feel safe. You know, at university, there were a lot of people who were 10 years younger than me, and I had been on the streets for 10 years, so I had a lot of life experience that they just didn't have. And it meant that I could bullshit, and everyone thought I knew what I was talking about, except for me. And for me, life is like this. Recovery is like this. And one of the reasons that we do service and we do not collect more money from each other and pay people to do these things is because it is a place where we learn. And what we learn is not how to make a committee, but we learn how to speak to each other. We learn how to agree with each other. We learn how to disagree with each other. We learn how to accept what other people think. We learn that we have only one recovery, and that is our recovery. Okay? I don't have your recovery. I sometimes wish that I had your recovery. And I sometimes wish that I had some control over your recovery. But I don't. I have only mine. And what I learn in service is to separate, to make a boundary between me and you. To know what is mine and what I'm responsible for and what is you and what you are responsible for. And this is hard. This is for me, the main lesson of life is to learn who I am, what is me, what is not me. Because to learn who I am, I must learn what I am not. You know? In the basic text, it says that our service career, our service work is an expression of personal recovery. And for me, this is exactly what I'm trying to say. It's a place where we practice the steps, where we put them into action. And it's a safe place where we can do that. You know, for me, I'm always upset, saddened, I guess. I'm puzzled also why people see service as work, bad, a pain in the ass. You know, area meetings. Fuck that, man. It's just so boring. Everyone's fighting. And for me, it's a fantastic place because it is... It's real life, but it's real life only safe. You know, it's a safe place to see how people are, what people are like, and what I am like. And, I don't think that I'm different, really. You know, the more I'm in recovery, the more I realize I'm not so different. And so the way that I think, you know, I feel very... lucky that the first time I went to a service meeting, I got it. You know, I got why, I understood something about why it was important. I think it helped that, you know, I have had a good education and I can speak and, you know, and I'm articulate and I think those things can help, certainly. And, you know, I can write well and these things. I don't think it's necessary, but I think it helps. I find it difficult to know how difficult it must be if you can't read so good or you can't spell very good or, you know, if these things. It must be really hard, really. And it must be really hard to be around people who can do these things. You know, I can imagine this would be difficult. But, you know, I'm here to say it doesn't matter. I don't care, really. And, you know, if I can help you, I will help. You know, if you want to learn to spell better, I will help you. You know, that's what happens in NA. That's what we do, is we help each other. And I think it's very important to not be afraid of what we come to NA with, you know? Because what we came to NA with was enough. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We would still be waiting to come. You know, we would still be out there struggling to stop using and desperate and alone and miserable. So you have enough to be here. And so part of that enough is to be willing. Part of that enough is to have ability. And I think that the world teaches us that some things are very important. I'm here to say that most of those are wrong. It's not important to be thin and cute. It helps, but it's not important. It's not important to speak 10 languages and to have a degree, and but it helps. But it doesn't help always. You know, to be intelligent, to have a quick mind and to speak well can be very difficult because, you know what? Always I have an answer. Whatever you say, I have an answer. When you say something to me about my behavior, I have an answer. And sometimes it's very hard to listen when I have an answer. Because when I'm speaking, I'm not listening. Okay? I want... It's very strange because today I got an email from a friend of mine in London. And it's a game. It's a recovery game you can play in service meetings to stay awake. Okay? It's called Bullshit Bingo. So what you do is you make a piece of paper and you make squares on this paper. So you have a 5 across and 5 down. So on this paper are 25 squares. And in each square you write a word like I think, or I don't know, or inner child, or issues, or to be honest. And each time you hear one of these in a meeting, you tick it. And when you make a line, you stand up and go, bullshit! So, I think it's funny. And I have a list if you want to come and look after. You don't have to do it now. So what happened was I was at this university and I was in trouble. You know, I was just in trouble. And I was keeping it together. I thought keeping it together pretty good. You know, I didn't know that everyone could see me, you know, like this all the time. You know, in all the meetings and the lectures and everybody knew, and I didn't know that everybody knew. And I started to miss lectures, and because using became more important than being there again. And eventually I get a letter from the head of my department to ask to go to see him. And I knew that, it was in English we say it was on top, so I was in trouble. And but my life has been about making excuses, you know, to have the last words. I'm good at this, you know. And I would get a letter from the bank because I owed too much money, and I would go into the bank and talk to them and come out with more money. I was good at this. So I went to see this man to make more excuses. And I went into his office. He's on the telephone. And why, I don't know why, I started to cry. And he saw that I was distressed, and he finished the phone call. And he said, what is it? And I said, I'm a heroin addict, and I cannot stop, and I don't know what to do. And I have no idea where it came from. You know what? I never said this to anyone. Never. It just came out. And I thought, fuck. Now it's on top. And this was the beginning of my first step, you know. And I surrendered to a man I didn't really know. But you know, I thought about it afterwards, and it's because he was kind and I felt safe. And somehow... it just happened. And he really helped me. You know, his wife was a psychotherapist, and so he understood, and he said, okay, go away, go and find help, and I will organize the university so there is no problem with the university. And so I got a place in an institution, and in an institution I found NA, and I was willing. You know, at my first meeting I got the message. Got it. I don't think because I'm smart. I think maybe because I was desperate and ready. We get this when we're ready. It's not about how smart, how much you use, what you use, how long, how rich or poor, how fat or thin or tall or short, old or young. It's how ready you are. And I was ready. And I'm really, really grateful I was ready at the first NA meeting. Fuck, I'm grateful. I don't know if I could go out. I never relapsed from this first meeting. I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. And I'm glad I don't have to find this out, you know. So I went from this institution to a halfway house, you know, a house with other men who are also in recovery. And I went to meetings every day. Well, there were each week 5 meetings in this town. So I went 5 times every week. And after perhaps 1 month, somebody invited me to an area meeting. And I went to this area meeting and I loved it. You know, I took, I think, 8 positions at this first meeting. They say we have a vacancy for, and it was, people were great, you know, they let me take these things. And, you know, when I look at this time now, it's funny, really, I think. A little embarrassing, but funny. And I realized that there are some different reasons why I did this. One is because I want to belong. I think if I say I will do it, you will not leave me alone afterwards. You will not go away and leave me the only person in the room. You will, you know, you will like me. You will think I'm a nice guy. And also, if I'm honest, it's because I think I'm like the Lone Ranger. I arrive just in time because NA is fucked. And I have arrived just in time to save it, you know. I mean, what the fuck? 8 places empty, you know. Really. It's fucking useless. So there is a mixture of these two. And it took me a long time to be honest about this, you know. Ego is a very hard thing to be honest about, you know, arrogance and ego. Because it's what kept me using, much more than fear. Fear didn't keep me using. Arrogance kept me using. Being wrong was very hard for me to understand and accept that I was wrong. And still now, I will fight with someone rather than say, you know what? You're right. I do this every day on the telephone with call centers in India somewhere, you know. Fuck. And I just need to go, you know what? It's okay. And for me now, it's so hard, this. So to be wrong is hard, but what I've learned in service is to be wrong. It's okay, you know. Even I cannot be right always. Even I. I know this is surprising, but this is irony, by the way. I'm glad your English is good, man, really. So I went to this meeting and I took on all these positions and my sponsor, my first sponsor, the first man I asked to sponsor me, he was tall and lots of muscles and the girls really liked him and he had a big car. And at my second meeting with him, he sold me life insurance. And it was very painful. Now it's funny, right? But it, you know what? I felt really hurt by this. I didn't because he used me. Well, you know what? What is the truth is I let him use me. Because I wanted him to be my sponsor more than I wanted to deserve what was happening and to be myself in this place. So it was like, I don't care how I feel, I will do this. And I've learned not to be so blind to my feelings, so disrespectful of myself and what I believe. And over my recovery, I've learned to stand up for what I think is right. And there are many things that I will not agree with you about, you know, I think. And especially if it is football. For example, just for one, I don't talk about football now, I will talk later about this. But I have a lot of difficulties with this. You know, I follow a team and I have a big passion about this. And when we lose to somebody else, and I get SMS from people, ha 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 ha, I want to really hurt them. I do, really, I want to hurt them. And there is something in me that does not leave me. I'm afraid of this. You know, I'm seriously. It's not about football. It's about me. It's about at the risk of ticking a bullshit box. It's about my little boy, like my child. You know, that whatever it is in me that never really grew up. You know, the Peter Pan in me. This is hard for me to live with. It's hard for all of us to live with. I know this. And part of what I love about NA is that I can learn to be accepting of what I'm not. What I'm not is really difficult, you know? Partly from inside and partly from outside, but it's difficult. It's hard to be a person in the world. With all the things that happen in the world, the people who are there and what they do, it's hard to be true to yourself. And the reason I like service is because I can be true to myself. I can work and achieve, and it doesn't matter what you do, how hard you work in service. You do what you must do. I will work hard and I will achieve. And what is important in this is not me and my feelings. What is important is the work. Right? The work needs doing. While we are in this convention this weekend, having a great time, there will be people who walk along the street outside who are using drugs and want to stop and don't know about us. They don't know about NA. They don't know how to stop. And I think that's my responsibility. If you want it to be yours, it's for you to decide. But for me, it's my responsibility. Because on the coin that I carry, that Brian wears around his neck, which I have in my pocket, this recovery coin, it says, on one side it says freedom, and on the other side it says responsibility. And you cannot have one and not the other. You cannot. I think, you know, it's for you to decide, but I don't think it's possible. So if you want freedom, you must take responsibility. So my freedom comes from a healthy NA, healthy meetings, a good place to go and feel safe, a fellowship that grows, newcomers coming, a place to speak. And so if I want that freedom, I must take responsibility for it. And you do not have to think, how do I do that? This work is done, right? We are 55 years old in NA and 56 years old. So 56 years old. So this work is done. You know, all you must do is read the literature and follow what others have done. And there are ways to do this. There are ways for NA to grow in Denmark. And for those of you who are in NA in Denmark for some years, you will know your history. Your history is one of conflict and difficulty and separation and growth, learning. You know, growth and learning is not always good and easy and healthy. But what you have now is a fantastic fellowship with really good energy. It's not so big, but it's a great energy. Some really good experience, some great people, and a real opportunity to do good work and help people in Denmark who search for freedom from addiction. And it, for me, is the greatest gift, is the opportunity to serve. You know, for if there is one thing that recovery is about, it's about service. And it has many different forms. You know, it's partly service in our groups, you know, to make the secretary and the tea or the coffee or to do the literature. It's partly to be on the world board to help to make strategic planning for NA globally. It's partly to do the world convention. It's partly to do the sound here. It's all of these things. But it's also to be a sponsor. And to be a sponsee, and it's also to help someone across the street. To think, is there someone who is old in the apartment block where I live? Can I maybe buy some groceries for them? You know, it's smiling at people in the street. It's great service. Because, you know, when someone smiles at me in the street, it's fantastic. And not always, because sometimes I'm angry and I go, fuck you, fuck you. Fuck you smiling at me, bastard. But other times, it just makes my heart sing. And I think, for some time, everything is okay. And so this is also service. And it's an expression of God, you know. I think that our job is to be like... like a satellite dish, you know, like a Sky TV dish, you know, like for satellite TV. And my job is to be this dish, and I receive this signal from God, and I transmit it out to everybody. And my responsibility is to stay clean and empty, free from defects, free from stuff, so I can just give out this love. And I think this is a very good idea of how we should be. And the way that I do that is by applying myself to NA. And when I go to meetings, they say, get involved in service. So I get involved in service. To be obedient is not to be stupid, pathetic. It's to be really strong. Mm. It's very, you know, NA is made of different kinds of people. Some of them are leaders. Just naturally, some people naturally are leaders, and some people are followers, and both are good. When I lived in America for 2 years, and I used to have a sticker on my car, a bumper sticker. It said, lead or follow, or get out of the way. And I think for me it's important, you know, there are areas in my recovery where I'm a follower. There are people who are good leaders, and there are other areas where I lead. And we have, as an organization, to think a lot about leadership and what it means. And to have a leader is not to be told what to do. It's to be led. It's not the same thing. You know, I came into NA thinking, don't you tell me what to do. Who the fuck are you? And actually, what they were was someone who knew more than I did. Right? And until I know as much as them, they should lead me. That's how it works. Now I'm here for some time, and I know more than lots. So, you know, I take some responsibility for leadership. And until you know, then part of your responsibility is to follow. Not to obey, but to be obedient. It's not the same thing. To accept that someone who has been here more knows more than you, and to listen and learn from this. So the way that we do this is we make committees. We do service together. We look at the work that is necessary. So part of the work is to make NA meetings everywhere, in every town, in every street. This is part of our work. And part of our work is to take NA into institutions where people cannot come. People cannot leave their institution to go to meetings, so like in prison or hospitals or treatment centers or psychiatric wards or like this. But the main part of our service is public relations, is our relationship with people who are not with people who are not addicts. So that is everybody who are not addicts. That is our family, our friends, the people we work with, the people who work in the professions, you know, who work in the industry or addiction industry. There will not be so many people in Denmark who work in treatment, recovery, who do not know about NA. They will think we are just like AA, or they will think we are religious, or they will think we are a cult, or they will think we are bullshit, they will think we are a place you can buy drugs. They will think it is a place where women are not safe. They will think it is a place where men are not safe. Some of these are true, and most of them are not. So part of our job is to make our groups strong, our home groups strong, but part of it is to learn how we carry this message. And there are lots of people who do this in NA, and I'm sure that you know people who do this in your community. I'm conscious I talk a lot here, and don't nod at me. No, it's okay, I'm joking. You're right, I do. Thank you for that.
What's new?
Recovery in action. Why do you put me on the stage with this guy? It's a punishment. Fuck. You put me on the stage with him because I am bad, right? No. He's a good guy, yeah. He's a good guy. Yeah, he is. If I say it enough, I'll believe it. What I think would be great would be if you have some questions, and I will do my best to try and answer them. And maybe Kim can translate. If you want to ask a question in Danish, Kim can translate it. Or I will keep talking, so there's the choice. Okay. Hey.
Recently, he made a robbery home at a guy. He was 78 years old, and that kind of destroyed my family and my mother mentally. So, in a few weeks ago, she tried to commit suicide. So, I've tried to take my brother's hand and say, "Come on, let's try some NA." But he keeps refusing and says, "Oh, NA, that's for suckers." So I'm all out of ideas. I don't know what to do. Can you give me an answer?
Sure. Keep coming back. I'm sorry it happened to you. It's not your fault. This is the most important thing. What happened is not your fault. Your job is to be the best recovering addict you can be for your brother. And he will learn, or not. It's a good question, and thank you for saying it. I think it's very common amongst our members, and I understand your pain, and what you must do is take responsibility for yourself. On an airplane, when you fly, and they make the instruction at the beginning, They say if there is an emergency and the mask come, it say you must first put on your own mask and then help others. If you do not have recovery, you have nothing to offer your brother. So you must make the best recovery you can. And what is important for us is we carry the message. We don't carry the addict. Okay? And for me, this is a very beautiful, in English, it's a very beautiful idea to carry the message. For me, it is not to give the message, it's to carry the message. So it's like to carry a bag. I carry it. I hold it. People can see it. And what will bring your brother to recovery is attraction. He will reach the end of his own road. And he will, it says, you know, he will find jail or institution or death, or he will find a new way to live. And he have a great chance because he have in his family someone who love him, who has found a new way to live. And you must make some boundaries so you protect yourself. You must be close with your sponsor and your friends. You know, you can be there, you can be strong for your family, for your mother, and because she will see it's possible. And if you do not have an answer to her questions, come and speak to some people who have time. Ask them what is the answer. You know, but really, you know this answer. You know what you must do, and it's you must just do it. Good. It's okay.
Thomas has a question about people on medication. Coming to NA meetings, doing service. What's your experience about that?
Okay. This is it's a difficult issue for us as a membership, as a fellowship. It has been a difficult issue for 30 years, maybe more. The World Services, you know that you understand, you know the structure of NA. We have members and groups, and each group has a representative goes to the area meeting. Each area has a representative go to the region meeting, and Denmark is a region, and each region have a representative that go to the European delegates meeting, which is all of Europe. It also have a delegate that can go to World Service Conference. Every 2 years there is a conference, and at this conference there are delegates from every region in the world. They represent every group in the world, and at that conference decisions are made that are for everybody, and we have a board, a world board, and the conference tells the world board what they must do for the next 2 years. Okay, and one of the things at the last conference the board were instructed to do was write some more literature about medication, because it's happened more and more and more now. I'm sure in Denmark is the same. We have in England now much methadone, naltrexone, Subutex, Subutamol. You know, they feel like there is a competition to come with new names for these drugs. But they are all substitution. In terms of Narcotics Anonymous, people who are on substitution medication are not clean. Okay? This is clear. This is not ambiguous. But you do not have to be clean to be in NA. I think this is the most important thing. It says you must have a desire to be clean. And if you have a desire to be clean, you are welcome here. And I think what this, for me, what this brings to me is how tolerant am I in my home group of people on methadone? Do I tolerate them? Do I judge them? Are they less than me because they are not yet clean? And you know what? If I'm honest, I really struggle with this. So I must take responsibility. I must make them welcome. Because they must decide for themselves if they will get clean or not. What is important is that they are at a meeting. And then we can do our job. And our literature is very clear. We must be abstinent from all drugs. And one thing that is difficult for us as an organization is that many of the institutions and professional bodies believe that methadone is not a drug like heroin. They believe it's not a drug. They believe that you are in recovery if you are taking methadone or Subutex or Subutamol or Naltrexone. And it is not our opinion. Having said that, we do not make an opinion publicly about these things. So our responsibility is to be accepting of people who come to our meetings, whoever they are, whatever they do, but and keep our message clear. Our message is, if you want freedom from active addiction, do what we suggest. Don't compromise with that. Do, to the best of your ability, five things. Go to meetings. Get clean. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Do service. If you do those five things to the best of your ability, you will find freedom from addiction. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's the best thing. We don't need all these, you know, we don't need to pretend to be clean. It's possible to be clean. And it's, for me, in a way, it's a bit like me. I find it hard to live in the world with people. You know, like I was talking before, I find it difficult. And I think in a way it's a bit like NA finds it difficult to live in the world with compromise, with this idea that you can be a bit clean. For me, you are pregnant or not pregnant. You cannot be a little bit pregnant. Okay?
Thomas's question is also about people on prescriptive medication, like for a mental disease or...
Okay. Psychiatric medication.
Yeah, okay. Or okay. You know, anthrax or something.
I would add to what I said, that if you are receiving medication that is from a doctor, whatever it is, methadone or something for, you know, serotonin balance or some antidepressant or... whatever you are on, it's not my responsibility, it is not our responsibility to say you should stop this. No, that's not what we do. What we do is we carry a message of recovery, that you can find freedom from addiction. You know, psych meds are not drugs that people abuse, generally. And I think we must be very careful about advice that we give. You know, one of the reasons I do public information work, public relations work, is because we speak with doctors. You know, one of the jobs that I do is I speak at the Royal College of Doctors to new doctors who want to make a license to prescribe medications for addicts, methadone and these drugs. They need a special license in England and they must do training. And we are now, NA is part of this training now. So we talk to them about abstinence. Because if you go to your doctor and say, I want abstinence, he cannot help you. All he can give you is drugs. He can tell you, don't take drugs. But he cannot help you. You know, so if we can say to them, send them to us, you know, suggest they come to NA. Maybe suggest that, you know, even if they take medication, they come to NA. And the other thing is to talk to them about abstinence, why it's important for people on, for example, methadone, to reduce, to come off, you know. And when at conferences people say to me, but, you know, people, they cannot come off, it's better they come off methadone slowly, 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 over 10 years or whatever, which is what they say. I say, what would you do if it was your son? If it is your child, Would you want them to be on methadone, or would you like them to be free from it? For me, this is a really important question. And I think they need, really, we should be challenging them about these things. You know, they do what they do, but we are very clear about our message. We do not need to change our message. We need to keep really clear about our message, but love everybody who comes and say, keep coming back, keep coming back. We will encourage you and support you as you reduce your methadone and come off, because there are many people here who have done this.
I can also tell you that World Service last year made a new pamphlet called Recovery and Medication. I'm going to say this in Danish.
Yeah.
Den her nye pamflet, medicin og hvad hedder det, bedring, er muligt at rekvirere hos jeres OSR. Vi har fået nogle kopier ud i jeres K, så det er muligt at få den på engelsk. Jeg ved, at oversættelsesudvalget sidder med den, så det kommer ud til jer, men I kan rekvirere den i jeres områder på jeres OSK, eller jeres grupperepræsentant kan få den på OSK. Om ikke andet, så kan I i hvert fald skrive til OSK eller ASK og bede om at få den ud i jeres områder.
Was there a question?
Okay, here too.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Can you tell a little bit about your experience in EDM, the European Delegates meeting?
Okay. Yeah. I'm very happy to hear that Denmark will send a delegate this year to the EDM. It's great. Really, it's a great thing. I will talk. You mean a little bit, you are trying to tell me something, right? No, I'm joking. So the EDM is the European Delegates Meeting, and it is a place, it meets two times each year. It is a place where each community in Europe comes together to talk about things that are of common interest. It is a discussion forum where decisions are made that affect Europe. At this body are representatives from NA World Services, from the World Board, but also from, I think the next one is in the south of France, and I think there will be about 24 different communities there. Russia, Ukraine, Poland, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, England, Ireland, Israel. So there are many communities, and they come together and talk about things that are important. Some of them are about literature, translations, new material. Some of them are about community problems, issues that are difficult in communities. There will be a big discussion this time about medication, because it is a growing issue now in Europe. It is clear that a lot of governments do not feel that enough is done. Enough people become abstinent, so they want to try to reduce harm by giving everybody drugs. And whilst we take no position on this, it will grow as a problem for us. So we must talk more about it. And some communities have a lot of experience of this. I mean, in America, it's been for a long time like this. So. But if you have some issues in your community and you want to bring them to the delegates meeting, then you should go to your group and talk about this and take it from your GSR to your area and bring this. We will listen to you.
Hi, Simon.
Hi.
My name is Mustafa.
Hi.
I was a user for 21 years. I haven't got a sponsor. I don't work with the steps because I have a hard time to trust people. My question.
Just say it.
For 21 years I was a user, and now I'm clean, but I don't know myself. I'm a complete stranger to myself. Do we got a solution to without a sponsor, without the work of steps, to become more than, do you know?
Sure. You mean, is there an easier, softer way to recovery?
Yes.
Let me think for a second. No. Listen, I'm not joking with you, you know, because I respect what you say. I think it is easy to keep this silent. You're not alone. There are many people who are afraid to trust, believe that no one can sponsor them, they cannot find the right person, they feel they are not ready to start the steps, and they think that if I start to do this, I will turn into like these other people, and I think they are not so interesting. I like that I am cool, and this is with as much love as I can find. This is bullshit, because I know it's bullshit because it was for me. I understand this. And there is one solution to recovery and to finding trust and happiness and growth, and it's the steps. You know, there is a book now, the Step Working Guide, and if you want, you can take this book and you can do it alone. But it is much better to do it with somebody else. You can do it on your own, of course. No one will stop you from this. No one will stop you from coming to meetings with no sponsor. But what you will see is a lot of people changing and growing. And you will not so much. So the choice is yours. And it's not pressure. My experience is that surrender to the steps and to the way we do things in NA is the solution to almost everything that you will bring when you arrive. And if you have questions, then I'm very happy to try to answer them. It sounds like, you know, if you want, I'm here for until tomorrow, until Monday, so we can talk. But there will be a sponsor for you. And you know what? The first sponsor I chose was a bad choice. And the second sponsor I chose was quiet, not cool, but when he spoke, I like what he said. And I was really embarrassed to ask him. I felt stupid to say, will you help me? Because you know what? All my life, I don't need no fucking help from anybody. You know, fuck you. I can do this. You know, nobody helped me. People hurt me all my fucking life. All my life people hurt me and made me afraid, and I don't trust nobody. And if you tell me outside it's raining, I look to check for myself. And what I learn here is to just let go. If it's not from NA, it can be from where? From.
Kan jeg bruge en præst?
He asked if he can use a minister or a priest.
You can use whoever you like, but what we suggest, and this suggestion comes from more than 50 years of experience, the suggestion is this person understands the steps. The best way they can help you to work the steps is if they understand them. I do think that the steps are spiritual principles, and I know people who have a minister who they work the steps with, but it's important the minister understand what you're doing. And understand, you know, you can give him the book to read. If he is happy to read this and refer to this when he helps you, I'm sure it's fine. But it would be better if it's someone who is going regularly to meetings. But there are no musts here. You do what works for you, really. You do what works. But what is the most important thing of all? Keep coming back. Whatever you do, keep coming back, okay? You promised this to me, so we're good.
Okay, we have a question here. It says, what's your opinion about people who choose the not NA way, but still live sober and clean.
You mean another fellowship or not fellowship at all? No fellowship.
No fellowship.
Well, if they're happy, I'm happy they're happy. But I don't really understand how they can be happy and in recovery without, and you know, without a fellowship. People do this. I'd see them do it, but you know, I don't want this. I don't want this. And if people do, it's fine. There's no musts. People can choose what they like. But my experience is that people who stop coming to meetings and stop working the steps and stop learning from other members will ultimately relapse. But it's not exact. This is not science. This is not mathematics, right? This is our experience. I think what is important. I think this is important. Of people who take drugs, about 80% will just stop. Some of those people had addictions, real serious addictions, and they take drugs for many years. Yeah, injecting and this and that. About 8 out of every 10 will just stop. They will get older, they will get married, they will have a family. Maybe they will find another addiction. You know, like a relationship or exercise or work or gambling. They will stop drugs. So I think about 8 out of 10 will just stop. Of the 20% left, right, some will come into NA. And of the people who come to NA, they say that of every person who walks into NA once, 5% get long-term clean time. So that's 5 in every 100. It's not so many. And I'm one. But what for me is very important, and I think this goes to the topic of this workshop, about 5% of Narcotics Anonymous do committee-based service, long-term, rather than just once, but all their clean time, they are always in committees making service, about 5%. 5% get clean, 5% do service. Do you think there maybe is a connection? For me, it's obvious. So, you know, there are no laws here. There are no rules here. What is so great about this is you do what the fuck you like. You know, we recommend you keep coming back. We recommend you get a sponsor. We recommend you get clean. We recommend you do service. And you can choose all of those. But it is clear. It is clear from our experience that those who keep coming to meetings stay clean. Those who keep working the steps get well. People who keep doing service stay a long time. Maybe you're the one who's different. It's not about you, but maybe you are someone who can do this without that. Great, good for you. And maybe one day you will tell me how you do it and stay happy. Because maybe I will do it too. Because I'm very lazy. But I like this. I like service. I like to be committed to NA. I tell you a story very quickly about this. My sponsor told me this about, he says, recovery is like a boat. Okay? It's a boat on a lake. And my disease is the wind. Okay? And I sit in the boat, and the boat is blown around by the wind, and the steps are the sail. And I pull up the sail, and I use the wind to go where I want to go. I steer the boat. I have control over the wind when I use the steps. And the energy my addiction brings in my life is the energy I live my life with. The passion I bring to service and the passion I bring to football is in many ways the same energy that drove me to use day after day after day after day. And to survive out there when most people around me died. You know, I used with four guys, me and there were five of us, like a gang, and I stopped, and all four of them are dead. And that may sound like Miami Vice, but it's the truth. I lived and they died. Why? I got clean and they didn't. And I do not want to risk for one second my clean time. It's great to come here, and I go to write in a book at the desk, and I know people are watching. I write 23 years. You know, it's great. And a part of that is, I really like that. But a part of it is I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of that. You know what? If you want 23 years clean, stay clean for 23 years. It's really fucking simple. You know, it's just maths. It's not a complicated thing. And all I really did was keep coming back and listen to people I liked. People I don't like, I don't listen to them. Fuck them. Really, fuck them. There's lots of people. I didn't come to NA to make friends, right? I don't do service to make friends. I do service because service needs to be done. And it says in the literature, if I am doing service, I will not use. And I want to not use. So I do service. And as a result of doing service, I make friends. And I get respect, and people love me. And yesterday when I'm sitting out here, I don't feel so good for a little while, and you know, because I come with Thomas and Elizabeth, and they are busy, and I don't want to be like a little dog. What shall I do? What shall I do? So I let, they are working, and I sit. I'm 23 years in, I can handle it. You know, but I feel miserable, and I'm alone, and conventions are like this for me, still, always, emotionally. So I sit there, don't feel so great, and then I see someone I know walk through the door. And it's just great. And I'm pleased to see them. And you know what? What I remembered is, when I was using, there's only one person I was pleased to see. And that was the person who was bringing me my death. I committed suicide, a fix at a time, because I wasn't brave enough to kill myself. And now, people walk through the door, I'm happy to see them. How good is that?
Hi Simon.
Hi.
My name is Henrik, I'm an addict. This is also very new for me. It's my first convent, and I have not done steps. I recognized from the question before, in the start I was also, can I do without, you know, because I'm also fucking lazy. And but now I'm willing. It's been a lot better for me, and I'm in treatment in St. Urs på Bornholm, and I have 4 months and 3 days today. And
cool, that's great.
Yeah, it's just very big for me, and it has been fantastic to be here. I'm happy here, and what I want to ask you was, I want to find me a sponsor. I'm eager to find me a sponsor. And I want to know if, what should I look for in a sponsor?
Good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
What should I look for in a sponsor? This is the question, yeah.
Sure. Okay. The first thing you should look for in a sponsor is the pamphlet that is called Sponsorship, which has a list of things you should look for in a sponsor. This is a pamphlet like this, you know, like you have on the table in meetings, that is written by NA, to help you to find a sponsor. So we say in England, I'm sure you say here, when everything else has failed, read the instructions. And so that is the first place I would look. And the second thing is I would ask your friends. You know, I think a sponsor should be someone you feel happy to sit with. You don't need to trust them. Trust is a process. Trust is not an event. You don't trust someone. You know, trust is a process. You will learn to trust them, like respect is a process. Love is a process. You know, when you fall in love, that's an event. That's a very different thing. That's not about love. Well, anyway, that's for the second share I do later. I think you should ask people. And especially when you find that someone has a lot of time, right? A lot of time in recovery, ask them what they think. You don't have to say, who do you think should be a sponsor for me? I think it's you should choose this. But I think this idea that, you know, everybody will have something to contribute from their experience about finding a sponsor. Mine was, I chose someone who was cool and he sold me life insurance. Then I learned from that. What I learned is that what is important is that they are quiet and what they say I like. And you will know, you will like what they have and you will want what they have. And then you can ask them. And what is really important is you can change your mind. When someone asks me to be a sponsor, normally I will say, okay, for 30 days, I will be your sponsor. Call me, we will talk, we will meet. And in 30 days, we will decide if we want to do this. And if at the end, it's like a probation. If you don't want me, say, it's fine. If I don't want you, I will say, it's also fine. And then, because I will want to see if you will work. The steps is work. Don't think it's not. It's not hard work, but it's work. It's finished? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you for being a part of my recovery. I want to tell you that the reason I do this is not for you. I would do this if there was one person in here. I'm here for me. Fuck you, frankly. with as much love as I can find, fuck you, you know. This is my recovery. I own it. And to have it, I have to serve. It's not a choice. If it was a choice, I would choose to not do it. I would choose to sit at home in my underwear watching football, scratching my nuts. You know,
Liverpool.
Only games that we win, of course. But life is not like that. And it's much better to do service and meet other people who'll scratch your nuts for you.
Thank you, Simon. Good luck,
Jan, er det ikke mit navn, Kim?